Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Happy hours on the air. I'm saving all my energy.
For what?
Baseball.
Baseball?
Yeah.
Baseball.
2 days to opening day. We're going to have live Cubs baseball on during the show just to trigger Seattle Rick, who always thinks, oh, it's so awful when the Cubs are on live because John's so unbearable. Ah, I'm going to be even more unbearable this year when the Cubs win the Central and advance further in the playoffs than your Mariners will.
He's got Cubs derangement syndrome.
Yeah, so you're going to be low energy John for the next 2 days?
I've been low energy John for a long time.
How is the energy? Did you get a good night's sleep?
It was okay. It was good. It was fine. I mean,
you're not packing your bags, so that's nice.
I'm not packing any bags. I'm not packing any bags.
Pack the bags.
Sadly.
That's good.
Finally get back to walking the dog again.
Dude, I'm taking Banks for a walk tonight. I can't wait.
I look forward to it.
Nice.
I look forward to it.
Nick, you should get a dog.
I would love a dog. I can't afford a dog.
That's a bummer.
And like, I'm never home, so it's like, I don't want to get a dog and just have it cooped up all the time. Never sees me.
Nah, not a bad idea.
Yeah. And why would you want to put a dog through you anyway?
Wow. Boom, roasted.
That's fair. No, I grew up with dogs. And
you're going to have to get the quarter jar.
We had dogs just on the farm growing up, and I feel like they need more space than my apartment has.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, if you don't have a house, which like I don't, you got to make sure they get a lot of walks in. Mm-hmm. We're on a nice little streak with Banks right now. It's great. Oh, no, wait. We didn't take him for one on Sunday because
I wonder why. Why wouldn't you have taken your dog for a walk on Sunday?
I just remembered.
Uh-huh.
No, wait, no, I did. I did because the snow melted and I took him out that night. So yeah, I think we're like 2 weeks now. Banks getting the walks in, man. What a dog. What a happy boy.
Well, you know what it's time for?
Speaking of happy boys.
So glad we've almost made it.
God, that is so funny.
Yeah, the hardest thing about being the head coach is no one really wants to talk to me. Coaches and staff, they all say I'm hard to approach. Do I seem hard to approach to you guys? I mean, like, I don't think so.
No, he seems very approachable. He seems like a guy you could do a podcast with.
The approachable boy.
Bingo.
Well, that was a little bit of Matt Rhule today.
Was it obviously in chess? What was that about?
Well, he was being asked about all the position changes and do players come up to you and volunteer them? And he said, you know, well, sometimes players don't want to come up to me. They go to their position coach instead.
Well, yeah, I guess I understand that.
Or the position coach of the place they want to switch to.
Or you talk to your immediate superior maybe instead of the...
Exactly, yeah, something
the
like
ultimate
that.
Boss.
But Matt Rhule after practice number 5.
Wow.
Yep.
Third of the way done, John.
Thank God. Well, I mean, they're working hard.
Yeah.
As their videos will tell you, no talking, all working.
Mm.
But we got some commentary on the quarterback situation. Of course, we're talking about the presumed starter, Jeff Sims.
He's trying to learn the system, learn the footwork. Everything's new for him. You know, I think Jeff brings a dynamic element into the game in that he can throw and run and is really smart and is a great teammate. I think the guys all really like him. I think he has natural leadership capabilities. So I'm excited to see what he does. You know, I think we've kind of – every day has been a little bit different. You know, we started off throwing it, and then Thursday we ran it a ton to get – because first day on pads, Saturday we mixed it. Today we finished with, you know, 2-minute drills and stuff like that. So I think Jeff has a ton of potential. He just, you know, just needs reps, needs to get comfortable.
You just called him the presumed starter.
Well, for people that don't have any faith in my guy, Casey Thompson,
who
didn't get it on the poster.
Guy? Yeah.
Still going to be Casey, who, by the way, was throwing today. He did some throwing today.
I saw this and heard about
this.
What
if the new poster has every quarterback but Casey on it?
That would be funny.
But Casey's the starter.
That would also be funny.
Well, Casey Thompson was throwing a bit today, and he was asked, has Casey been given the green light to join some of the drills?
I hate that I don't have that correct answer. He's not throwing with us yet, so they talked last week about beginning a progression, but I'm not sure the exact date. So I will say Casey's doing a wonderful job of, like, he's kind of become like a coach. Like, he's in there every night working. He knows the progressions as well as anybody, the depths. I mean, he's really a smart guy who's putting a lot of time in.
You know, John, one of the things that has come up a lot in the short time he's been a head coach is, like, the belief in recovery and not pushing guys too hard. And, you know, it's come up mainly with Thomas Fedoni. And he talks about how Fedoni is ready and he wants to practice, and they're basically not letting him because they don't want him to get injured again. And I thought about that as I listened to that answer about Casey Thompson, because I'm, you know, and I don't know exactly where he is at, but it wouldn't surprise me if Casey would like to get opportunities, would like to throw the ball a little bit, maybe more often than he is right now. But that recovery, it's like, so often we think about coming back from an injury as just like this second kind of thing, or the usual bumps and bruises. Recovery is like this. No, it's a part of everything. It's a part of how you practice. It's a part of how you prepare. Pushing yourself can be great, but it can also be to your detriment. So I wonder what the timeline looks like. And I do wonder from the mental side of things with Casey, not with the playbook, but mentally with him and not wanting to fall behind because he's not getting that opportunities. Or is he someone who's just like, I'll be fine. I just got to get my chance in the summer, in August, fall camp.
Something tells me that Casey is very aware of the situation and that he is going to get himself in front of coaches as much as he possibly can, in any way he possibly can, to show off his best attributes, the ones he can show off, so that he does not get forgotten. Because, again, there's going to be a perception, barring a Jeff Sims catastrophe in the spring game, there is going to be a perception after this spring that Jeff Sims will be the starting quarterback because he's the one that everyone's going to see. He's the one that everyone's going to talk about. And Casey's aware of that. And so behind the scenes, he's going to do everything he possibly can. And you heard it there from Matt Rhule. You know, he's kind of like a coach out there. I think whatever he did last year to win over guys, he's probably going to take that up another notch this year. Because he's now having to impress a whole new set of eyes.
Yeah.
And he knows this time around he can't do it with his physical attributes, or at least fully to his physical attributes, because of the injury and the recovery.
Sure.
Do not ask Matt Rhule about a depth chart. That's my interpretation. That's not exactly what he said, but listen to this answer about the depth chart.
I can't even begin to think about a depth chart until the fall. In fact, I tell the staff all the time, please do not evaluate their technical skills and drills and like, oh, this guy, he can do this, he can't do that yet. Try to improve it. We will look at like skill set and traits, like, well, this guy's explosive, this guy's twitchy. But, you know, you in our system, you come in, we're teaching the offense and defense right now, right? And then over the summer, we'll try to improve it. Then in training camp, fall camp, we'll try to perfect it, and then the season we'll try to execute it. So that's why I said a lot of the players are getting like this, like, why am I not? I'm like, because you've done it for 4 days, you know. And the same thing with the coaches. So I'm really taking that methodical, detailed, like, hey, don't – the worst thing you can do is write a player off. It's the worst thing that you can do, because there's guys on our team right now that are probably sitting in that locker room that are walk-ons that are like, man, am I ever going to play here? Then, man, I'm going to turn to them in the middle of the season and be like, I need you to go do this, and they're going to go do it.
See, that's another reason why I don't rule out Casey Thompson.
Sure.
If you're going to, if
that's your mindset.
If you believe in what he just said, he is not looking at establishing any starters or backups right now. He's just trying to find out, hey, what can guys do? what can guys do?
That
don't,
makes sense,
don't
right?
look for any of the technical skills or any of that stuff. Just tell me, you know, how do they look? And we will go from there.
Yeah. It makes a hell of a lot of sense. He's barely worked with these guys. It's now been five practices. It's been a handful of practices. They still have 2/3 of spring ball left. And then they have all of summer, and then they have all of August, and then they finally have a football game. And until then, you know, there's just still so much to learn.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that there are players on the roster who have totally bought all the way in, and then I'm sure that there are players who are on the fence, and then I'm sure there are players who are like, man, I don't know. And so it gives everyone an opportunity, everyone a fair shake, if you believe him. And I do. I think that that's genuine. I think that that's how you have to operate this early on in your tenure.
If you were listening earlier when we had Michael Bruns on, we talked about this, and it was the fact that there are just 12 offensive linemen in the spring. That's all of them. That's the walk-ons plus the scholarship guys, just 12. And Matt Rhule, here was how he answered the question on having 12 offensive linemen.
But I mean, it's probably a low number at Nebraska because you guys are used to having 200 guys on the roster, 150. I think having 12 linemen this time of year is about what I'm kind of used to, you know. So I think we have three or four great walk-on offensive linemen that are just – I mean, I think Dylan Parrott's a guy that could play. I mean, he could develop and he could play. Keegan Menning's a guy that can help us, you know. So, Ezra Miller's been banged up, but I think, you know, he's a guy that could help us. And Jersey, my guy from Jersey, Mancino, like he's fantastic. Like, he's a great dude, and he can play. He can help us. So,
does make you wonder, Josh, if this might impact how the spring game looks for those who are concerned about such things. Remember, all the talk was, hey, this is going to look more like real football. But if you're down to just 12 offensive linemen, that could make things
a
little dicey.
Depth. Yeah, I mean, speaking of gray jerseys, you know,
yeah.
it's the you're going to play on both sides of the mm-hmm. – you're going to play for both teams, essentially. And so
right.
you might have to do that, and you get plenty of reps. But, yeah, there is that push and pull of, you know, wanting to see them, wanting to give them opportunities, but also not wanting to get an injury or two that costs you because you're playing in front of a bunch of people. Yeah, it's a good question. Because it definitely seems like after last year that the university does not want to do that again.
No.
You know, but I wonder if, you know, what do they do, I guess, with the offensive line, just given that's not a lot of bodies. That's barely a two deep, you know?
Yeah.
Barely a two deep.
That's a two deep and then two more guys, two swing guys.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
about it.
And that's light.
Anthony Grant was back.
Folks.
At practice.
It's real simple for me. Like, if you have a pulled hamstring, you can't practice. Doesn't mean I don't love you. It just means you can't practice. If something's happened like academically or socially or anything like that, and I say, hey, right now you can't practice, doesn't mean I don't love you, right? And I think that's one of the big things, you know, like that we want the guys to understand. Like, we're gonna correct actions, but we always gonna love the guys. I love Anthony.
Yeah, it turned out to be pretty. I would guess it's probably academics.
Yeah.
Or who knows, maybe...
Attitude.
Maybe attitude.
Yeah.
Maybe he was one of the guys who didn't perform particularly well in the little team exercises.
See, I thought that, you know, that's certainly where my mind went, just, you know, thinking back to some of the things that he has said over the last month. But, yeah, it doesn't, like, you know, so you were gone at the end of last week. Do you know about the kerfuffle with the whole video that came out of AJ Allen? Do you know about this at all?
No.
Okay, so there was this video that came out, I believe it was Zach Carpenter with Rivals, with Inside Nebraska. And it was E.J. Barthel, and he was kind of getting on A.J. Allen. And, he was like, hey, hustle. And A.J. wasn't hustling. He told him, hustle again, hustle again. And eventually he's like, get him out of here. Let's get someone in here who, you know, is willing to do the work or whatever it was. It's a normal minute-long clip. And everyone lost their mind. Oh, my gosh, he's going to transfer. Oh, my gosh, what is going on? Yeah, exactly. And I think about that again in relation to this because we hear suspension and we're like, oh no, this is the beginning of the end. And it's like, maybe it's just, you know, a small little thing and it's one day and then you're right back at practice. It doesn't have to be this grand. Seriously, it was the dumbest thing.
You gotta be kidding. Thank God I wasn't here for that.
I didn't know about it until...
Oh my God, a coach disciplined a player at practice. Oh, the player's gonna transfer.
I have always been someone, and I think you and I are in agreement on this, like... When Nick Ball worked here, he would talk about open practices from the former player point of view, right? Where he thinks that those should be moments where players can make mistakes and get coached and not have to worry about Josh Peterson over there saying, Tommy Armstrong went 4 of 13. Oh boy, his accuracy sucks. I know it's become a whole thing, but safe space. This is an opportunity for the players and the coaches to work without the prying eyes. And I've always been someone that says, I think it's more valuable for us as radio hosts. I think it's more valuable for writers. I think it's more valuable for the fans if we have more context to our discussion. Seeing the reaction of the video last week was one of those times where I was like, man, I think Nick might be right, because that was stupid for people to lose their crap over a mundane thing in a practice. Somebody talked about it with me like this. If we would have heard afterwards that Bartha would have been like, or if even a reporter would have been like, yeah, Bartha was coaching him hard and wanted to see more effort, we would have moved on from it. But because there's this minute-long video, you know, people lost it.
Well, and I don't want to derail this segment, but yeah, there's a reason why practices were more open back in the day. Because the coverage was a lot more confined.
Because you weren't getting a video tweeted out.
You weren't getting a video tweeted out.
Get off our lawns.
You weren't getting, you know, message board posts and then the conjecture that happened after that.
Did you see the video?
I did see the video.
Well, speaking of the running backs, Matt Rhule has fallen in love.
I don't know what the rest of the Big Ten running back rooms look like, but we got a pretty good running back room now. I mean, Gabe Irvin's doing some really, 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 really powerful good things, and AJ Allen's hitting some big, big runs, and so we have a good running back room. You know, we talked about Ramir, we talked about Anthony, Trevin Lubin does a great job for us. So I'm forgetting one person. Emmett, you can see the point guard in Emmett, right? Like he's a ball carrier. So I think actually a couple of you guys I was staying on the sideline with, I talked about how much I liked Emmett. So we got a good room.
Wow, you mentioned AJ Allen. How about that?
He did.
Wow, even though he got yelled at.
Apparently he's not
slacking
anymore.
Maybe he just likes the room, like specifically that
they
train in.
He loves the carpet.
Yeah.
That's why I asked Brunts about the running back room earlier. Just you look at it and you got, you know, a guy who almost had 1,000 yards. And we think a player who got hurt actually better than that guy who almost got 1,000 yards. And, I mean, Gabe Irvin has been a player that we have mentioned for a while as a potential breakout player. We'll see if that finally happens. It's an interesting room. Very interesting room.
The new tradition.
Mm.
Now that the sellout streak is done, it's dead, the Youngs have buried it.
The war on the sellout streak continues.
There's a new tradition. It's called the single digits. They're holding back all the single digit numbers for the tough guys, the toughest guys on the team. Matt Rhule's asked today, so define who exactly are getting these single digit uniforms.
Really the guys who best exemplify what it means to be a Cornhusker, right? To be accountable, to be dependable, to be tough, hardworking, competitive every single day. And so as we get into training camp, those, you know, we'll vote on it. It won't be the coaches. The players will vote on it. And we hope it kind of becomes our tradition. So while as we have wholeheartedly embraced all the great traditions that are here, hopefully this will be something new that people will get into, and there will be a long line of, you know, guys who, you know, earn that jersey number. A lot of respect for the guys that were in those single-digit jerseys, because they, you know, it's not fun to have your number taken away. But I think the cool thing now is as recruits say it to me, as guys say it to me, can I wear number 3? Absolutely. Just have to earn it.
I really hope we find out if offensive linemen can earn this.
Here's my question, though. What if you are an offensive lineman, or anyone else for that matter, and you don't want a single-digit number?
Then you don't need it. I think that this is about being tough and also wanting it. Because single-digit numbers, John, they're cool. That's what this is about. It's a cool number.
If I were a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman, I would want a big-ass number.
Yeah? 99.
Yeah. I want 69.
140. Oh, hell yeah.
I want 57.
Oh, wow. Center. You're a center.
59. You know, there's not many great 59s in the history of sports.
Yeah.
I would like to be 59. Stand out. Yeah, you losers can have your 23s and your 32s.
What about
and
zero?
And your 12s.
You see, Micah Parsons wants zero. Him and a teammate are arguing over who gets zero.
That'll match the number of Super Bowls he wins with the Cowboys.
Damn it. I walked right into that one. Rats.
But yeah, what if you're a big lineman and you're like the toughest guy on the team? Hey, congratulations. Mm. You know, AJ Rollins, who moved positions, you get a single digit. AJ's like, man, I want to be 76.
What if Casey Thompson wants to be 76?
We could.
That'd be awesome. Coach, this is the new cool number.
Just curious. I don't know. Can you, if you win the toughest and you get the first pick, can you sell that pick? Because you're like, man, I'd rather be 68. I'll sell this pick to somebody.
It's like in NBA, you'd get drafted.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'll buy that jersey from you for $400.
And then you sell it to the weakest guy on the team. You say, wait a minute. No, that's not supposed to go to him. Why is our kicker wearing single digits?
Why is Steve Buscemi wearing number one?
Also, we found out that Saturday will be the first scrimmage.
Mm.
Matt Rhule, not 100% sure how extensive said scrimmage will be, but he said that is our first full live day. Will be next Saturday. Mm. So we'll find out a lot more after that, I am sure.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. That is your look back at Matt Rhule today after practice number 5.
Wow. 5.
Football.
That's five. Also a single-digit number.
It is. Thanks for the reminder, Nick. By the way, the season is now 5 months and 3 days away, John. The countdown continues. We're almost 100 days out.
Why are you trying to steal John's summer?
Yeah,
I'm not.
You're trying to steal my summer again. Look, we've barely started spring, and you're already trying to rip me off of my summer. Thank you.
Hey, I'm excited for summer, too. I'm ready for short season. Can't wait to come to work, show you my legs, which are not tan yet. They're very pasty.
It's supposed to be nice on Sunday.
Oh, I saw. And I'll be inside. You can't wait. Game should be over by like 2, though, so I'll get outside.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good for
70
you.
70 degrees.
Good
oh
for you.
Gosh.
Good for
shorts
you.
And a t-shirt, baby. That is going to be glorious.
Well, you know, the tournament is down to its final weekend.
The tournament of great significance?
It is a tournament of great significance. And there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, in time for the final weekend of the tournament, new customers, a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's right. It's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if that first bet you make does not win. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/1620, sign up today, and claim that no-sweat first bet. So if you're betting on the underdogs, if you're betting on Florida Atlantic, if you're betting on Miami, and either one of those lose, no sweat, because up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
John, how about this one? Looking at the women's games, Iowa, we talked about them, versus South Carolina. They have player props. Caitlin Clark, over 27.5 points. The juice right now is set at -122. Whether it is that bet, whether it is one of the games that John mentioned, or more, you can take advantage right now and get that no sweat first bet up to $1,000. All you got to do is go to FanDuel.com/1620 and sign up today. 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit is required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.